Hello and welcome to PoloCast, a polo podcast for gamers. I'm your host, Nathan Mustafa. With me today, I have a man who rides bareback on and off the polo field, Neil Ronahan.
Hello, hello. I'm good to be here for PoloCast, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Up next, he'd rather be playing cricket, Zachary Miller.
Tally-ho, pip-pip, what?
And finally, a man who looks dashing in a polo shirt, and only a polo shirt, Andy Gergen.
Marco?
It's true. He polo. Does look good in a polo shirt.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So unfortunately, this isn't actually PoloCast. Oh, this is the
you got my fucking
NWR
hopes up, man.
Newscast.
Screw this.
In which we discuss Nintendo news for you. This is the 30th episode for Friday, October 12th.
November 12th. November 12th.
Curse you, Andy.
We've gone back in time yet forward as well.
My evil plan is complete.
Oh, planting the seed of failure in my mind. So why
step
don't we
up.
Just
step it up, Mustafa?
Why don't we just kick it off with what you've been reviewing, and Zach with the big game of the week.
Oh, me,
GoldenEye Wii.
GoldenEye Wii.
Yes, you.
Mm.
GoldenEye Wii.
It's awesome, by the way. It's
how awesome.
How awesome? On a scale of 1 to 10, it's awesome.
Oh, man.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's about an 8.5.
Oh, I'd say that, yeah.
That's true. You already
I was waiting for that joke, Zach, where you were just going to cite on a scale of 1 to 10 an 8.5 in the review. That's up on NintendoWorldReport.com.
It is. It was not mentioned by our colleagues on RFN, sadly, but that was an oversight.
Yeah, when they had a retrospective. I just got through that, too. And it's like they have a retrospective on GoldenEye Nintendo 64. And they don't even mention how we have the review 2 days before recording.
That was
2 days before recording.
That was per my request, Zach.
Oh, of course. That's for you, sir.
Just blame me.
I always do. When something goes wrong in my life, I just shake my fist
Mustafa!
At the sky and yell, Mustafa! Exactly.
When your
like
door
that.
Is just barricaded by caribou bodies.
So many caribou.
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye is almost nothing like the GoldenEye you remember, which is fine with me, because I recently played it on Nintendo 64, and let me tell you right now, it does not hold up.
I think the multiplayer is still kind of fun, but the single player is super, super dated now.
Single player blows, but even if you go back to the multiplayer, I feel, by comparison to any game today, no.
But there's still the nostalgia with the multiplayer. That's why I would argue that holds up.
I was never a huge fan of the original to begin with. I know I'm among the few, but
if I was not 10 when it came out and all my friends played it, I would not be a big fan of it either.
Yeah, exactly. If I just had it and just didn't have parties with people, I'd hate it.
It was just, yeah. I mean, it was just hard to really get behind GoldenEye when you'd already played things like you know, Quake 2 on the PC.
Yeah.
It just felt so primitive.
Anyway, let's talk about the Wii version. I'm interested.
Yeah, let's talk about the Wii one.
The Wii one is more like Call of Duty, more like the Modern Warfare games than, I mean, it's still Bond. You know, it's
well, how is it still Bond? Like, I mean, that's the one thing in the single player. Like, I know everyone seems to be saying it's like the Call of Duty games, but how is it more Bond and less Call of Duty?
Well, it's more Bond in the fact that you're Daniel Craig and you're Bond and you're sneaking around and breaking necks and, you know, being in the GoldenEye storyline. But, like, if you take it online,
like gameplay-wise,
nothing
like
Bond about it at all. Gameplay-wise, I mean, you have that little smartphone that he takes pictures of stuff with, and he scans electronics with, but otherwise, besides the plot, not a whole lot Bondy about it.
Okay.
Not much bondage.
Is there a lot of stealth in the game, or is it largely just run and gun?
It's very optional, although, you know, if you take down a dude stealthily, he won't raise an alarm like he did in the N64 game, too.
Oh.
Although there wasn't stealth takedowns in the N64 one. You just had to shoot the guy before he got to a, like, comm box, right?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. But
yeah, so it's the
game,
same thing where because I've been playing the DS version, and that has it, like, where if you, like, sneak up behind a guy, there's a button that you can press, and then, like, you just fucking snap right. their neck or something.
Yep, same thing here. Cool. You have to be crouched down, get behind yep. him, like, shake something, and then you snap his neck. And it's really kind of visceral and cool.
Yeah, otherwise, you have to, it's you have just to twist the Wii remote like you're snapping a neck.
No, if only. If only. I think you shake the nunchuck. I play it on the Classic exciting. Controller Pro, though, which is the way to go. But no, it's a great game. And the multiplayer, the local multiplayer is fun, but it feels like the maps are too small, and you're constantly spawning within eyesight of each other.
But I know I know that's like kind of your big complaint with the local multiplayer, but isn't that kind of good that like you're not running around aimlessly looking for people, and it keeps it, you know, keeps the pace of the game up?
Sort of, but I was playing with two people at a time, and with four people at a time, I mean, it would just be constant shooting. Like, you'd all be killing each other all the time. I don't know. In the N64 GoldenEye, what was kind of cool is that you'd look around for people, right? So when you find somebody, you hit the testosterone.
Part of the fun of a competitive shooter is the hide-and-seek element. I mean, the shooting part is fun, too, but hide-and-seek is also part of that game, I mean, to a certain extent.
Oh, definitely. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, you could still engineer small maps and have it be so that you're not getting spawn camped all the time, or not spawn camped.
But, so Zach, you were saying you're playing this with the Classic Controller Pro, which I find interesting because a lot of Wii fans tend to claim that the pointer controls are the way to play first person shooters, and likewise, a lot of maybe more traditional gamers would argue the exact opposite. They say, I don't want to play a shooter on the Wii. I want my dual analogs. So right. I'm guessing you stand in the dual analog camp then.
It's only because I've been playing a lot of Modern Warfare 2 online lately. Okay. So it transfers over very easily to the Classic Controller Pro. But I did play the single player with the Wii remote and nunchuck, and it works fine. The aiming's just like, you know, like Metroid Prime 3. It's responsive and...
Yeah, and I know there's a whole cadre of options of how you can tweak the controls.
Okay.
The only thing
I'm just curious because
the only thing that sucks about the Classic Controller Pro is that to vault over things or run, you have to press up on the left stick and down on the D-pad.
That's weird.
Like, imagine doing that.
Kind of bizarre.
And with the local and the online multiplayer, are the maps the same or are they completely different?
Yes. No, they're the same.
Okay.
But they're bigger. I think they're bigger when I play online. They feel
bigger. That would be cool if, like, maybe there was the option to use the bigger online maps, if that's the case, in local.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
That would solve your complaint, I'd imagine.
I wonder if it gets bigger if you get all four people playing.
Yeah.
I only have two Wii remotes, so, you know, I don't really have any friends.
Oh. So you're
having that problem with only two people?
Yes.
Like playing locally? That's horrible. That means that someone...
Well, it just might mean that the map scales to how many people play.
Well, it also ultimately means that
I remember
managing their spawns correctly.
When I was when I went to New York Comic Con, GoldenEye was there playable, and because I got to go to the fancy little media hour, and someone else that I knew, we went and played GoldenEye Wii and played a lot of the multiplayer levels, and we would run into problems where... It would be like, you know, I'd kill him, and then he'd spawn right in front of me, and either he'd get the jump on me, or I'd get the jump on him, and, I mean, that's not really... I hate when you spawn and die. I don't mind if it's like, you spawn, run to the next room, and there's a dude there, but when you just spawn and someone's there to shoot you, I hate that.
Yeah. There should always be enough space or, you know, geometry to allow each player to have equal advantage. You know, sure, someone can hide somewhere convenient, but... You should be on, you know, at the same level when you're going
into a really
delicate shootout. Yeah.
I was able to play online with two people from the forums, and it was really fun. I mean, online is just fun anyway, but it's always fun playing with people who you, at least you know who they are.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Zach, because we are going to have a site Wi-Fi night for GoldenEye Wii.
So, Zach, you said it's structurally similar to... A Call of Duty game. Does that also extend to the multiplayer?
Oh, exactly like Call of Duty.
Really?
Online. Oh, yeah.
Did they go with how Black Ops is structured and you can
purchase your
weapon upgrades?
Yes.
Okay, Black Ops...
No, you get weapon upgrades by leveling up.
Okay, but do you choose which weapons you get, or is it a set?
It's a set. Like, at level 10, you unlock this. At level 15, you unlock this.
Right.
But Neil, go into the Wi-Fi night. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we're going to have giveaways. We're going to have GoldenEye DS and Bloodstone DS to give away during it. We're not really sure how. Zach and I need to figure that out. And we're also going to have, like, apparently the copy of GoldenEye that we got also came with the Odd Job cheater shirt, where it's like Odd Job's hat and it says cheater underneath it. So we'll get rid of that, too.
He is in the game, by the way, and he can throw his hat.
Yeah. The one he killed, it's cool. There.
It is kind of cheap, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Does it do like a bullet time thing? Or is it...
No, he just has his hat and he throws it and you die.
It's a good challenge to try to get the hat timing down so you can just go through and mow people down.
Hat timing is always critical.
Yes.
My favorite... I think my best story for online so far has been there's a mode called Golden Gun where one gun in the game is Golden Gun. It's a one-hit kill. But as soon as you shoot once, you have to reload. But I got the Golden Gun on this one map, and I was killing people left and right, just like six dudes in a row. And then somebody killed me and took it, and they go and hide under a building. They're all crouched under a building, and I see them under there. So I throw a grenade under the building and blow them up. And then I go take the gun back, and I hide under there and shoot people in the knees. So great.
All right, so you got another game?
Great story, Zach.
Yeah, why not? Poke Park is Zach, so what else you been playing? So fun.
Yeah, you love the crap out of this game. What's up with that?
So I have no idea what the hell this is.
I didn't either. Here's what it is. First off, it's a game for babies. And, and so the
we write for a Nintendo site. That shouldn't be a big deal, right?
Exactly. So imagine there's like a big three-dimensional grassy field, all right? And your Pikachu, is 3D, it's beautiful. And your Pikachu, and there are a bunch of random Pokemon just walking around. And you go up to one, you go up to like Hopip, and you say, "Hi, Hopip." And Hopip says, "Hey, do you want to be my friend?" And you're like, "Sure." And she says, "Do you want to play chase with me?" And you're like, "Oh, hell yeah." So she runs, and you press 1 repeatedly to do dash until you hit her and knock her over, and then she's like, "We're friends," and Pikachu dances.
Zach, this does not sound fun.
And then
in addition
to chase, there's hide and seek, three-question quiz.
In the grassy field?
In the grassy field. Well, they hide behind
trees.
That's
got to be really challenging.
Hey, it's challenging when it's Oddish, man. Oddish is fucking tough. And then there's also battle.
Or is it like real Pokemon where they just disappear and you pace about until they pop up?
No, they're always around. In fact, you can play the same game with them again and then get them to be best friends with you.
Oh shit, dude.
Hell yeah.
I remember playing this at E3 and I was Pikachu. I went up to a Feral Gator and then you had like a real time battle where like you had like two moves. And then Feral Gator just fucked my shit up because I'm sorry, like little Pikachu with his fucking, like, Thundershock and maybe a Tackle is not going to, like, match up against a dude with, like, Hydro Pump or whatever. Like, Feral Gator just had his number.
So, Zach, please tell me the third minigame is mating.
The third minigame is fighting.
Like Viva Pinata?
Yeah, oh, exactly. Fighting. No, the fighting's actually kind of fun because there's a little...
Yeah,
because
that's
a,
the real-time stuff, right?
Yeah, it's real-time battle. And, like, you have Iron Tail and Dash and Thunderbolt... And you can mess their shit up, and it's fun. And you collect berries as currency, and you play. There are a whole other branch of minigames called attractions because it's a park. And the attractions are things like there's a variation on Breakout, and let's see, what else?
So,
there's a little marathon where you shake the remote to go faster, you know, things like that.
Did anyone ever play Pokemon Channel? Or by play Pokemon Channel, I mean watch it. Because I used to do video game programs at the library that I worked at high school, and someone brought that one time. Like, it was like his younger brother had it, and we played it, and it's basically just like you watch Pokemon cartoons. Like, not even like the real cartoon shows, like really, really shitty, low budget, like made for a budget title cartoons. And the way to progress the game is to watch it to completion, and then you unlock like more videos. But the challenge of the game is that you need to actually sit through the entire video, or else then you can't watch the next one.
That sounds challenging.
You know, one of my longtime dreams has been like a big open world Pokemon game.
That's what this is, sort of.
Where the no, but like where you're a trainer and the battles actually play out in the environment that you're standing in.
I think we've all
and like
been
you
waiting
can see
that.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
I know. And this doesn't look like it.
No, this is so fun.
But if it wasn't made for babies, I think this game could be really, really cool. But as it stands, like, there will just be the occasional random person like Zach who finds some magical love in this game, and everyone else will just kind of be like, well, fuck that.
Is this a full-on retail game?
Yes, yeah. It is, $50.
Like, this is a... Oh, see, I was considering it were it to be WiiWare.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have already downloaded
it
if it were WiiWare.
Yeah, I would get it right now, because the world looks nice.
Yeah.
Well, look, half the fun is like, you do a chase with a Murkrow, and he's like, okay, I'm your friend. Oh, look, my friend Hunchcrow just showed up, and then it'll say, Hunchcrow came to play in the Poke Park, and you're like, oh, fuck yes, Hunchcrow. So you go and find him, and he fights you, and, you know, it's just half the magic is finding all the Pokemon you know and love.
Yeah, and that's only half of the magic.
It is, and they're in 3D, you know, and it's so cool. And then the more friends you have, the bigger your treehouse gets, and oh, it's so cool.
It seems to me that like the Pokemon franchise has a real solid history of releasing spin-off titles about the blandest shit in the world.
Dude, Pokemon like, Snap is a gem. You shut your mouth.
Yeah, Pokemon Snap.
Now,
is
I've never played Pokemon Snap, and I know that a lot of people have really good things to say
about
it.
Dude, spend the $10 on the Virtual Console version. It is an awesome game.
I may do that. I've heard enough good things about it, but photography game, a game where you run around in a park and chase them to make friends. Hey You Pikachu, the Pokemon channel.
Apparently
like,
Pokemon Snap, sorry.
Pokemon Rumble too.
I'm just saying, like, am I imagining things, or is the Pokemon franchise, like, really becoming known for these really bizarre sort of almost half of a game kind of spinoffs?
You know what I'm imagining? An open world Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Well, I mean,
like
Pokemon Snap
game.
Pokemon Snap wasn't even a Pokemon game originally. I think there's an Iwata-esque with about
what is the goal of Pokemon Snap? Someone tell me what you do.
You take
in Pokemon
pictures
Snap.
Of Pokemon.
You snap
want,
them all.
Yeah, you want to take good pictures of Pokemon, and like you're on this like
you
car
have,
that
you're
goes
on
a
track.
Yeah.
And there's way that you can interact. Like for instance, like you have to like wake
throwing
up the Snorlax.
Apples. Throwing apples, throwing Pester Balls. Playing with Poke Flute.
Yeah.
You can
oh,
get
man.
Different Pokemon
actually,
to
that
do
would be,
things, Andy.
That would be cool if they just added that element to the other imaginary open-world Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if you see a Pokemon in the distance that you're is way too tough to
you
fight.
Could get, you like, PP points. You could get PP, like, in Dead Rising.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Dead Rising
So are there
Pokemon.
Multiple environments, or does the whole game take place in that jungle, kind of?
There, no, Pokemon Snap.
You mean
there's...
Snap or this?
No, he's talking
Snap.
About Poke Park.
Oh, okay.
Poke Park takes place in 5 different environments.
No, I was referring more to Pokemon Snap because
no,
I'm trying to, like...
I think Pokemon Snap
too.
Also takes place in 5 different environments.
And then there's a bonus stage at the end where it's just Mew.
Yeah.
Players can enjoy 5 different environments.
I may have to take you guys up on Pokemon Snap because I have been trying for a long time to figure out why exactly it is everyone seems to like the game when to me
it
sounds like...
It's really fun, Andy.
It's not super long, though, but for $10, it's definitely worth it.
Do you guys remember the
actually,
Blockbuster
you know what?
Booths where you could print out pictures that you took in Pokemon Snap?
Yeah. You can post
Does that game
your...
have any kind of Game Boy printer compatibility? Am I crazy?
No, it's an N64 game.
I know, but I thought maybe there was like a connectivity deal going on there.
Well, what we're talking about is there's a connectivity thing where you take your cartridge into Blockbuster, and they'd have a booth where you could plug your cartridge in and select the photos that you thought were really fantastic, and it would print out stickers. Of that photo.
I remember that. I think I was mixing that up with the Game Boy printer.
Oh, okay.
And then in Pokemon Snap on Virtual Console, you can actually post your pictures to the message board.
Right, that's right. Right.
Oh, shit, really?
Which I did one time. And
ooh,
then
I'm
never
buy
did
it right
again.
After this.
There's some really good moments in that game, like when you free Moltres from the volcano. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's enough of that.
So is that about all you had to say about Poke Park?
I love that game, but none of you people apparently do.
If it was a WiiWare game, I'd be all over it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I've written that I've been playing Ben 10 Wii.
Did you get over that step?
To be completely honest, no. No, I haven't gotten
none of his alien forms will help you get over a step.
All right.
I went through all the alien forms. All of them.
So you're just at the beginning of the game, and there's a literal step that you have to get over, and you can't get
literally over. Literally a step that I have to get over.
This might be a bug or something.
Have you tried? Have you tried going to gamefaqs.com?
It's a Ben 10 thing, dude. It's not going to be up there.
Yeah. It's in like the first 2 seconds of the game, too. Maybe I missed some dialogue or something, or I'm
skipping.
Have you
spent $14.99 on the Prima Ben 10
strategy
guide?
Oh, no, I haven't.
You
maybe
probably
that's
should
the
go
solution.
Do that. Yeah, maybe do a search on YouTube.com for Let's Play Ben 10 Ultimate Wii version.
Okay, and the second part of why I haven't gotten past this probably very simple problem is that I've just been completely swamped. No, with midterms and a engineering conference this weekend that went the whole time. So,
fun.
Yeah, I've been busy with that. But I would just like to say that Star Fox Assault is just a completely fucking wonderful multiplayer game.
I agree.
Oh, we were really talking about
I held my tongue on RFN. On RFN, I didn't want to start a stink. I didn't want Lindy to laugh at me in front of everyone.
Aww.
But I know. But here in my own home, I can say, yeah, I loved Assault.
No, and I mean, the multiplayer in that game is wonderful.
It's great. And you can customize so many facets of it. And you can – they're so fast-paced and – or, you know, if you don't want them to be, you can have these protracted nuclear missile battles. I don't know if you ever used that, the nuke weapon.
Nuclear.
But I would nuclear. I would always play on the pyramid, like the Mayan pyramid map. And one friend would stand in one pyramid and the other would stand in another. And we would launch the nukes out of the tops of the pyramid. And it was really tricky and try to hit the other person. It was just.
I remember actually doing something very similar.
Yeah, and if you were good enough, you could, you know, blow up their nuke midair and stuff. And yeah, no, it was great. Or we'd, you know, play some sort of weird variant on that where the third player would run around and try and do stuff while they're constantly barraged by nukes.
Yeah.
And the jetpack battles were really fun.
Yep.
Especially on the indoor maps where you're the multiple floor ones. Yeah. I love that game. So much fun.
Yeah, I mean, the single player isn't as good as like Star Fox 64, but I think it gets a lot
more.
Lot more shit than I think it deserves because, you know,
I wouldn't say that the single player was anything special.
Yeah, but it's not
bad. I really enjoyed when Pepe tried to kill himself.
Yeah, and then he's just like, "I'm back, guys."
Highlight. Yeah, but God, when he did it, it was so majestic.
Yeah.
Just watching his ship careen into that
and
shield,
Rob was in there too, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was a moment. And yeah, I guess the gameplay in the single player didn't really stand out. There were those bigger maps where you were just running. Yeah, I'm thinking of Corneria, where the one where you're running around on top of those structures.
Yeah,
and like constantly falling off because things were shooting you. That was not a good time. But I really enjoy the multiplayer. I think it stands out as probably my favorite multiplayer experience on the GameCube. So
it's definitely up there. It's not going to take down Melee, but it's up
for
there.
Me, it does. But yeah.
While we're off topic, on that particular off topic, the multiplayer in Pikmin 2 is fantastic.
I never played that.
Oh, you know what? That is another good one. But the reason I say Star Fox trumps it is just because of the pure hatred that Pikmin 2 can curry between two good friends. I don't know if you ever got stuck in, you know, like the accusations of screen looking, the hatred of the other person.
I really wish they'd release new Play Control Pikmin 2.
I agree.
Oh, same here. I was so bummed that they stopped at Pikmin 1.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's move on to Neil.
All right. So I'm going to kind of run down mine quickly. GoldenEye DS and Bloodstone DS, two James Bond games, both made by N-Space that came out on the same
day. What's the deal with that?
I don't know. It's like, if you think about it, there's three N-Space DS games coming out within a week span because Call of Duty Black Ops came out this past Tuesday, and these games came out the week before. Like, that's just, like, stupid.
Right.
But
so what's the difference?
GoldenEye DS is a first-person shooter, and Bloodstone DS is a third-person shooter. I believe they're made by
the
same team. Yeah. But GoldenEye DS it's a lot of fun. That's the one I've played the most of so far. I kind of blazed through the single player, and you know, it's kind of like, I guess it's probably the DS equivalent of GoldenEye Wii, where, you know, there's some Bond aspects to it, like whether you're a little more stealthy, But it's still that really directed, like, kind of cinematic Call of Duty experience, and it controls well. I haven't gotten a chance to go online with it, though, but there is a 6-player online multiplayer, and there's also multi-card, but that's never going to fucking happen.
No.
And Bloodstone DS, I haven't played. I'm only, like, two levels into it, but the controls work pretty well with the third-person shooter. It's a little awkward, but that's also more because I have to play it right-handed, because my right shoulder button is kind of busted. So in order to shoot, you have to use the shoulder buttons, so I have to play it right-handed instead of left-handed.
Oh.
I'm kind of overcoming that.
Are you playing on a DS Lite?
What?
Are you playing on a DS Lite?
No, DSi.
Oh, you're a DSi, of course. Yeah, because my Lite had a busted shoulder button, too.
But
I don't know if that just comes from how we put it in our pocket or what.
I think you're the one who told me that it had something to do with putting it in our pocket. But, I mean, if it gets really bad, I had where both shoulder buttons were completely broken back in May. And I, you know, did the repair thing with Nintendo and got it back from when I filled out the repair order. I made the order for the repair on a Friday. And then I think the next Friday I got it back. Like, I shipped it out on
Nintendo's
Monday
great about
and
that.
Got it back on Friday. And I was amazed.
I had the broken hinge, and yeah, I got that taken care of really quick.
Yep.
And actually, they just sent me a new one and asked me to send mine back. I don't know if
awesome.
The lady was crazy or yeah.
I got my same one back. I think they just tinkered with it to fix it.
Mm.
But and nice. I the other game that I'm going to go over quickly is Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 for Wii, which I put a little time into. I got it the other day and sat down with it, and it seems kind of cool. It's kind of a button masher, but. Because it's not like a waggle fest. Because the button mashing, like you hit, I think it's like B's jump and A is lightsaber attack. There's force moves.
It's pretty much God of Star Wars, right?
Yeah, it's fun though. Like I'm having fun with it, but I hope there's some more gameplay variation later in the game, or else then it's gonna get stale quickly. What I'm most looking forward to with that game is the Super Smash Brothers esque multiplayer mode that I was saddened to find out that. Most of it is locked when you first get the game. So, like, I can't play as Boba Fett or Vader. I play through the fucking game first. Because I just wanted to dive into that with some friends the other day. I'm glad I didn't, because I would have been annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I hate when people lock away multiplayer stuff.
Yep.
That was a problem in Star Fox Assault.
Yeah, it was. Because you could get Wolf and stuff like that.
And the jetpack.
Yeah.
So long.
That was a problem in WarioWare Smooth Moves.
It's yes. Like the multiplayer.
Worst game to lock away a multiplayer in. Jesus.
I was going to bring it over to my friend's house. Like he was having a party over the summer. I was going to bring it over. And then I was just like, nah, dude, we'd have to play through the single player. And I'm not going to bring over my Wii. That's stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
F that.
Yeah.
And it sucks for disc-based games, because if you just want to bring your disc over to someone's house,
it's
like, no. Got to bring the whole damn.
Well, you can bring over an SD card, but then it's still kind of awkward, because you have to load the game first on the Wii and then go erase their save file and copy yours
over. It's an extra layer of complication that doesn't need to be there.
It's not like the ease of a memory card.
Hmm. No.
But, yeah, that's all I got. I should be reviewing Epic Mickey soon, so that's cool.
That's right.
We're getting really fucking early. I'm excited for that whenever
I
get that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah. Next show, I should be talking about it, I think.
Nice. I imagine it's going to be pretty epic.
I think Mickey might be in it, too.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Whoa.
Andy.
Yes.
WWE SmackDown versus Raw.
2011, which hasn't started yet, but all the sports games are out for it. I just got this today, so I've really only put a couple hours into it. You know, if you've played a SmackDown versus Raw game, there's nothing here that's going to surprise you. This is my first one in a while. I used to be way more into wrestling than anybody ever should be, to be perfectly honest. And I played a lot of the N64 and GameCube wrestling games, and then I kind of trailed off. So this is my first wrestling game, my first current wrestling game in a long time. I have no idea who at least half the people are, which is probably still more than I should know. I'm kind of enjoying what they've done with the wrestling game since my heyday back in like 99, 2000, 2001. One of the things that I kind of like when I first booted it up was basically they basically have two campaign modes. They have the Road to WrestleMania, which is just sort of your storyline mode, which is kind of awful, but I'll get to that later. and then they basically just throw you into sort of in a never-ending, at least what seems to be a never-ending campaign mode, where you just sort of it throws together random, I think random shows for you. It keeps track of the wrestler's stats, like win-loss stats, over every play now game that you do, and just sort of lets you just kind of make the story up as you go, I guess. Treat it more like an actual sport. Keeps track of wins, losses, keeps track of who has the championship belts and who the number one contenders are for the championship belts, keeps track of all the different factions, and you can rearrange them and customize them. And all that's just like right there at the word go. Like you get to the main menu for the first time and it's telling you who the first matchup is, but it also lets you customize it however you want, change people out or whatever.
Nice.
It was just really surprising to like already be in some sort of like a campaign mode that you can completely ignore. It's 100% optional, like right from the word go, which was really kind of cool. One thing I noticed compared to previous wrestling games, going back as recently as SmackDown vs. Raw, like 06 or whatever on PlayStation 2, is that the loading times are way down. The menu actually feels smooth, pretty silky smooth compared to the Raw games on PlayStation 2. Which oftentimes felt like you were swimming while you played it. Like everything you did took, you know, half a second to react.
Yeah.
But the menu system on SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 for the Wii is really fantastic. I was pretty pleasantly surprised by it. And even like the loading times for like the introductory segments when the wrestlers come down to the ring, that's actually pretty quick and pretty smooth. The other, sorry, Neil.
Is it like a port of the 360 PS3 version, or is it built from the ground up on the Wii or something like that?
I am 100% certain it is a port, mainly because of how many times they say high definition and show like the WWE HD logo all over the place. Like they even tell you, like the announcers tell you that Raw is in high definition. Like it's all over the place. It's great.
Every straight up lie on this game.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
It's like really every third idea communicated in this game is that you're watching it in high definition, which is just really entertaining for me personally. Some of the graphics are really fantastic. There are some incredibly ugly textures.
Andy, would you say they're HD?
Yeah, they are as high of a definition one could expect from a non-high definition system, especially the wrestlers themselves. Like some of them don't look quite like exactly dead on to the person, but some of them are really creepily realistic looking. Like they did a really good job with a lot of them. The storyline mode, the Road to WrestleMania mode, is a lot more fleshed out than the last time I tried to play through one of the wrestling game storyline modes. Like back when I used to play it on like PS2 and GameCube, it was a lot more of like a menu based thing where they had some backstage cutscenes and then you just went into a menu and played a game. Maybe there was a cutscene in front of the match or something like that. But now it's got like a full blown locker room interface backstage, kind of like you run your wrestler around a locker room, talk to people. The problem is that the controls are really bad, mainly the camera controls. Like the camera is incredibly zoomed in, so even though you have a mini map in the corner of the screen, it's really hard to tell where you're going. Like it just, you have no perspective for what direction your character is facing. It's really weird and bizarre. It's also kind of weird that the locker room and backstage area looks the same before every section of the storyline, but they make a point of telling you what city you're in when you start each like stage of the multiplayer. Like now I'm in Washington D.C. Now I'm in Wichita, Kansas, but the locker room looks exactly the same.
Well, you know, all the arenas are the same. It's a cookie.
Yeah, cookie. That's a well known fact actually. Every arena is regulation size. It's kind of fun if a little broken in the exploration, if you want to call it that, segments. One of the things the Road to WrestleMania is kind of broken out into like about five or six different like mini campaigns that are, I'm not sure, because like I said, I haven't watched wrestling in probably about going on 10 years at this point. But I'm pretty sure if memory serves, these things are always meant to be sort of a very close recreation of what you saw on TV if you watched. For instance, the one that I picked right now is like the Undertaker is undefeated at WrestleMania, and you're playing a character trying to beat him for the first time and end his winning streak. So the Undertaker is like this supernatural character who always pulls weird crap on TV, like the lights go out and then, oh my God, suddenly he's in the ring. Or they're always kind of straddling. They're always kind of straddling the line with the Undertaker in terms of, like, now he's just like a badass who rides a motorcycle, but then like a year later, like, he has these druid followers and they play like the bell toll theme song for him, and he's legit evil. And it's always been sort of, you know, bizarre to begin with. They always try to really, really push what little believability they could possibly have when it comes to the Undertaker. Nice. So in my little mini campaign mode, apparently in the video game version of this particular storyline, they just go balls out crazy. I was told by another wrestler who is Kane, who I believe has history with the Undertaker, that I have to use an urn to collect little clouds of pink dust floating around the locker room that are meant to represent lost souls. And once I have all like 10 of the lost souls, I have to be prepared for what happens next, he said. But he didn't clarify. And then one time I got to the locker room, and I was sent home by my boss because I didn't look well. But before I could leave the arena, I blacked out, and then the locker room turned evil. And the camera, which was already broken to begin with, is tilted to the side. Like, so what little like context of where I was going was completely lost. And there was all these little anonymous druids everywhere. And I walked to the ring and had to fight 15 identical anonymous druids in a Royal Rumble match, with the entire crowd being all anonymous druids. And like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like, for all the bullshit wrestling gets away with on TV, this is like two to three complete levels beyond whatever insane bullshit Vince McMahon has been dreaming up. Like, it's just completely crazy. But you know, it's the wrestling part itself is pretty fun. I mean, they've been getting the wrestling right in these games for a long time. It's never really been a problem. They changed the controls up a little bit, and this is my first time playing it on the Wii, but I can just tell, like, the way the controls work is a little different. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's stupid. It's a little crazy, but it's fun.
That sounds fun.
So, like, one of the already bizarre things about wrestling in general is how, like, these grown men will come and, like, have all of their personal arguments. Like, the most angry they ever get happens just once a week in front of, like, a jillion people.
Well, there was
on
a
TV
South
and
Park
arena.
About that recently.
Was it really?
Yeah, they all pretended to be wrestlers, but they'd never wrestle. They just have these big, long arguments, like soap opera stuff.
Well, it's like, these wrestlers are pretending to be super, super mad, but they're only really, really mad one day a week, and they're only get mad when either there's a camera on them, or they've decided to grandiosely spend 5 minutes walking to the center of the arena to grab a microphone.
Well, I mean, that's because it's so theatrical. Like, I mean, I'm not...
That's all it is.
I was kind of into wrestling when I was in, like, sixth grade or something, but, when, like, looking at it now, like, I'm impressed by the ability of the people who are in wrestling to be actors and also beat the shit out of each other and not actually beat the shit out of each other.
It's just angry acting anyways.
I'm not saying their acting is good, but they are all playing characters. Some
they're all performing.
Super,
their
super ridiculous.
Is always on.
Yeah. It's really hard to do, and it's impressive, in all honesty.
The point I was getting to is that on TV, you kind of just you take it for row. I mean, that's what happens on wrestling. They come out, they have their arguments on every Monday night, and then they go back to being, you know, normal people until next Monday. But the weird thing about reliving that in a video game, especially with all of the performance, there's tons of dialogue in this game. Like, it's the entire thing is acted out, which is great. And then they are the actual voices. I think they are. I know most of them are. There's one that I'm really convinced is maybe not real, but I guess what I'm getting at is these characters, when they're in a sound studio away from, like, the whatever magic is on television, these people sound so ungodly fake in their characters. The same characters that I watched for years in college and whatnot, Like, and I believed them when they would come out on a microphone in front of a crowd and they would do their shtick, and I totally bought into it. When they get behind a – like in a sound studio and there's no ambient noise to right. like kind of like hype it up a little bit.
Well, also
it is
they, you know,
so
they can't
to
feed
buy.
Off the crowd.
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
no excitement going on. They're probably not used to that kind of acting.
It literally has know. The vibe of an audiobook. Like that's what it feels like. It's like a wrestling character interpretation of an audiobook. It's
– you can't talk to me like that.
Yeah. And
that's what I imagine.
And, like, that sounds okay in front of a screaming crowd in the middle of a ring with a microphone just because that's what wrestling is and you've come to expect it. Man, you put that in a recording booth and it sounds so bad.
You know what would be like, really better if they just used the dude who does the voiceover for the scenes in Kirby as the voice for
yes, a hell yes.
Yeah, and there then have the other a wrestler be – the other wrestler will be Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Steve Brule. Maybe, Steve Brule will be another one.
Let's get Picard. Let's get Picard.
Tommy Wiseau.
Picard.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Eh. Tommy Lee.
Every outhouse, hen house. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Bill Clinton. All right.
Why don't we hand this segment off to Neil?
All right, let's do some news. And let's do it briskly. First up, WiiWare demos brisk. Are coming back. Came
in
from
Europe.
A rumor, and then was confirmed for Europe. I don't know if it's out, if it's launched in Europe yet. I think it has actually. But they've got four demos: Furry Legends, Jet Rocket, Zombie Panic in Wonderland, and Through Space. All four games.
Well,
I actually
enjoy them for like the entire month that
yeah,
they use them. Right?
She's gonna get to download that. Them. Yeah, because what it's gonna do is all the demos are limited, so you can only download them for a limited
right.
time only, and then they will replace it with four more games. So,
oh wow,
it's like they're coming up. I mean, at least they're continuing it, but they're still doing it in such an ass backwards way that it's like
I don't understand the limitation.
Where yeah,
they put it on a hard drive somewhere, and it just sits there. They can afford it. I don't know why they just can't have demos of 20.
They have to be different than everyone else.
It's so stupid.
I very much welcome these.
Has an encyclopedic library of demos you can just go through. Every genre is represented. It's so dumb.
I mean, in all honesty, I welcome it because four of these games. I mean, or I don't welcome the shitty nature of it, but I welcome the demos coming back because all four of the games that are out in Europe are all games that I heard about and was just like, well, that sounds kind of cool, but I don't feel like spending the money. And I would really like to play a demo for each of these games, and then I might end up buying one
of them.
It's
a good thing we live in Europe.
Yeah. Whenever the hell this happens.
Yeah. It annoys me. I'm sorry.
I'm annoyed.
Yeah, I think we are all annoyed.
Dogs keep busting in this room.
Sons of bitches.
Oh, that's
but speaking of dogs, Donkey Kong Returns, Donkey Kong Country Returns is going to feature a super guide.
Of course.
Apparently, you can call upon Super Kong, who's a new member of the Kong family. I guess that's cool.
He has an awesome line in the rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if the rap is coming. If the rap comes back in this game, it might be the best game ever. But but this is actually a case where the Super Guide seems like it has a reason to be there more so than Super Mario Brothers Wii, because this game looks hard as fuck.
That's why it should not be in there.
There are those that struggle with new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah, well, when you have all those people there. No, with new Super Mario Brothers Wii and how you would play it with other people and they just all die, I've had the same problem.
Yeah, I was just playing with one person and they kept dying over and over and over and over. Yeah.
Will they remain nameless?
Yes.
Girlfriend.
Ah.
She'll never hear this. She sucks at that game. And she makes me suck at it.
All right, let's move down the list. Crytek UK, formerly known as Free Radical Design, known for their work on Time Splitters, Time Splitters 2, Time Splitters Future Perfect, and Haze, unfortunately.
I didn't like any of the Time Splitters games.
I really enjoyed all of them, and they are apparently shopping around a Time Splitters sequel. So that's cool. That's good news that Time Splitters 4 might actually come to be after their financial struggles and so on and so forth.
So Crytek UK used to be Free Radical, but didn't the founders of Free Radical basically come directly from the GoldenEye development team?
Yeah.
Right. So this is sort of, in a very, very roundabout way, the direct descendant of the GoldenEye developer.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wait, so they're shopping it around. They're looking for someone now, to make it or publish it?
To publish it. Because, I mean, they're a developer because they are, you know, the UK right. branch of Crytek. And I guess someone in the forums brought up about how, why isn't Crytek just going to publish it? And I guess my guess with that is that Crytek was probably like, nah, guys, we're not going to publish a cute little game. We just want you to help out with the multiplayer for Crysis 2. So I guess Crytek UK has some kind of autonomy from Crytek.
I thought they had some sort of deal going with EA or I don't know.
They did, but well, Crytek does because I know they have. That's what Crysis 2 is coming out with, the EA Partners program. Right. So maybe EA will possibly pick up Crime Splitters.
Pick it up.
Not sure.
Are they looking at a console? Oh, that's right. All Crytek games are going to console launch now. So
yeah.
What are the chances you think we'll see this on the Wii?
I think if it comes out, we'll see it on Wii. Because back when Time Splitters 4 was in development, it was
right.
I think they didn't really have consoles 100% locked down, but they talked specifically about Wii. And I mean, that's been a number of years because when Free Radical, I believe at the end of 2008 is when Free Radical had financial trouble, and that's when Time Splitters 4 was halted in development. But, I mean, or the Wii successor, I don't know what they would change around at this point. Either way, I would very much like to see this game.
To be honest, I don't think we're going to see it on the Wii at all. Crytek's current focus is moving their PC tech to the consoles.
Yeah,
and
but if
they've done it on the 360 and the PS3, and they're repping that pretty hard, the fact that they've got CryEngine running on those.
But I think the thing with that is that that's Crytek proper. And if Crytek's not publishing Time Splitters, like the Time Splitter sequel, then I think
Crytek doesn't publish their own games.
If Crytek UK, which might be autonomous from the regular Crytek,
they have the Crytek name on them. I think they're going to have to use the CryEngine because Crytek and CryEngine are synonymous. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Let's go through some quick hits.
Time Splitters will
tell. Yes, Time Splitters will tell. Super Meat Boy on WiiWare. Fuck.
Is this a quick hit?
Yes. They're not the space minimum. They're at 50 megabytes, just shy of the 40 megabyte limit. And I think Super Meat Boy on Xbox Live Arcade is around 90 megs. It might go to retail and have a little $20 package with some extras, which would be cool. The developer is called.
I'd actually buy the retail package.
I would.
I already bought the Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean that game's amazing.
I haven't bought the game at all.
Oh, Andy, go play it. Get it.
Honestly, I would rather play it on retail version of the Wii than I would on Xbox Live Arcade. I really don't like the idea of a 2D platformer on the Xbox 360.
It is amazing, dude.
The analog stick works just fine for it. In fact,
really? I agree.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. It's a lot easier to finesse your jumps because there's a lot of freedom in your movements while you're in the air. So I feel like it's easier to sort of direct myself with that.
Yeah. I mean,
I just wanted on the PSN or Wii Retail. I don't care which one. Just give it to me.
Yeah. It's not
coming to the PC, Zach. You should be able to.
That doesn't help me at all.
You don't have a controller or...
No. Also, my PC can't even run Doom 2 because it's too old. Oh, what does that even mean, it's too old?
Yeah, you can use a PS3 controller on your on a Windows machine.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can.
I might do that.
Right.
All I can say is Super Meat Boy is incredible in every way, shape, or form. It's evil. It's evil, but fair.
Such a great game.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is there's no reason whatsoever to wait for a Wii version of this, even if you think you might prefer the Wii controller.
Oh, I agree.
I suppose I can at least download the demo on Xbox.
The controller is a non-issue here, Andy.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is right now my Xbox is a pain in the ass to get online with because my TV got sent in for repair, so I had to move it to my other TV.
Don't really need to play it online, so just download it. You know,
it takes 5 to 10 minutes of fiddling with my laptop and doing a network wireless bridge to get my Xbox online at all.
Wow, right now.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
It's so good.
Just
dude.
Do it. Just do it. It's worth.
Yeah, I'll probably do it.
I'm
only doing that like once or twice a week right now. But the next time I hop online to play some football, I'll grab the demo.
Yeah, grab the demo. You'll probably end up wanting to hook it right back up to get the full game.
Yeah.
So
I would love to see this at retail because I would go right out and buy it again.
And buy like 4 copies of it. That's amazing.
Just for the chance of if they include anything extra.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure why I've been hesitant about it because it kind of sounds like my kind of game, but for some reason my interest hasn't been there yet.
It sounds ridiculously hard.
What it is. Maybe, yeah, but maybe the aesthetic doesn't appeal to me. Like the whole the title, I think, never appealed to me. Like the idea of the title, I think, never appealed
to
me.
To be honest with you, it didn't appeal to me either, especially when I saw the character Meat Boy. Like that kind of attitude, that sort of garish, over the top.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's
yeah, we're indie, super Meat Boy. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't give a shit about this. But, you know, when you actually get into the game, it's fun.
Have you beaten the boss called Chad yet?
Yes.
How fucking funny is that?
It is funny, yeah.
And there's so many little game references. Like, each world, there's a very... the first one has... it's like the Street Fighter 2, like the two dudes fighting, and then it pans up. One of the last ones is a Mega Man 2 reference, which is awesome.
Stop!
So good.
Stop! But
let's move down to, I guess, a quicker hit. Madden NFL Football, which is the name of the 3DS launch title from EA Sports.
Oh, fuck.
It's coming from the North Carolina studio, which I guess they make portable Madden games.
The screenshots look great.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be really good. It's going to use 3D. It's not going to be fully featured. I mean, it's also oddly coming out in March when the football season is over.
That's probably why.
Did the DS launch in November? It did, didn't it? Because there was a Madden at DS launch, too.
Yep. But it's only going to have a season mode, but still, I'm anticipating this game. I'm interested to see how it turns out, and I like 3D, and I like football. So
quarterback mode will be awesome. In 3D.
Yeah, Okamiden is coming out on March 15th, 2011, which, eerily enough, could be right around when the 3DS comes out. What do you think Capcom's trying to do with having Okamiden come out in the middle of the 3DS launch? It's already a niche game, so I don't
get it.
Well,
it'll have 3DS features.
I mean,
I think this is a stupid move.
Has it come out in Japan yet?
Yeah, I think it came out.
Yeah, you know, the game is already out.
Yeah.
Are they just having that much trouble localizing it?
Yeah. The game's out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if it's not out in Japan, it'll be out in Japan in like a week.
I think they're just having problems launching it, and they had to delay it for whatever reason.
Yeah,
I don't think they're trying to position this as competition to anything.
I think Okamiden's going to fucking die at retail if it comes out.
It's going to have to.
Well, I mean, the game is not even getting that good a buzz right now. Like, that's the one thing the game had going for it was the buzz of its original successor.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't enjoy what I played of Okami.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And, you know, if you throw this up against the shiny 3DS launch titles, I'm not going to give a crap at all.
And I mean, it's the kind of game where it's not like people are going to be like, oh, I'm buying a 3DS. Maybe I'll look at other DS games. And oh, Okami Den. Because they're not going to play Okami Den. And the people that would get it are going to be like, well, shit, I'm broke. I can't get another DS game because I just got the 3DS.
Exactly. No, maybe someone that's hanging. What I can envision is some sort of weird fanboy that can't afford a 3DS, but is going to make a big stink about it. So they're like, you know, I'm going to get Okami Den. I'm going to hold on to the original DS. You BSers with your 3D. Screw you. I'm really enjoying Okami Den right now.
I'll buy second gen. Thank you very much.
I just bought Okami, believe it or not, at Costco.
It's a really good game.
Haven't even touched
it yet. Play 8 hours of it and then stop.
It's way too long, but it's really good.
Don't play the second part where it just erupts into another game.
I thought it was like Zelda.
It is. No, it is. And you play an entire Zelda-length game, and then it goes, but wait, you're not even beginning. And you're like, what?
What is it like? Is it like a Triforce thing? Like, go out and get the
Triforce?
It's
exactly that. It's that, but worse, because you beat the final...
I don't give a shit. You beat the final boss.
I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about the listeners. Oh, okay.
Statute of Limitations is well up on this game.
Yeah, so you beat the final boss, and it blows up into, like, multiple pieces, and it's like, oh, now you gotta go kill its soul pieces.
Oh, you're kidding me.
and it's longer than the first part of the game, running up to the final boss. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a good game, and it's funny because I've heard this with a lot of people that didn't really get it until the Wii, where they got it and then just didn't touch it. Because that happened to me where I got it and it was just kind of like I played a little bit of it. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Right. And then I picked it up later and really enjoyed it. And I think like Pedro
I really enjoyed it.
Had the same phenomena where he got it, didn't touch it, and then loved it.
I have to actively make time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they just cut it off, it would have been a much better game. I think.
I agree. Beat Poke Park first.
All right, moving on. Rock Band 3 Pro Guitar. It's coming out on March 1st, 2011 for $280.
Oh, my God.
Way too much. Way too much.
I mean, I think for what it is, like, I don't really
know. Way too much.
It's the kind of thing where, like, even for a guitar, like, at that price, okay, it's a basic guitar, but it also has this, you know, technical wizardry in it. Like, I don't think I don't think the price is ridiculous, but I still think the price is ridiculous for any person who casually would want to get it. I think they will sell out of it. They will sell out of this because there are enough hardcore Rock Band fans that will slobber all over it.
Exactly. I don't think it's. I don't think the price is.
They'll never make more.
I don't think the price is that unreasonable because I don't think that many people will want this.
Exactly.
No, that's true, but it's probably in line with demand. But you look at like how much it costs to get a basic guitar. Like if I just want to go out and get a shit little mini that probably gets the same kind of sound that this thing does, it's going to cost me like $90.
Yeah.
This is triple the cost, and I could get a much better guitar for that money. And I know that this syncs with your game, but at the same time, like, if you're that into the guitar, you're just going to want to get a real guitar.
Yeah.
It's not – that doesn't hold any value.
But it is a real guitar. It is a real guitar, Nate. Don't you get it?
Yeah, but it's a real guitar that's also crappy.
Yeah, can you plug it into, amp and actually play it like
a
guitar?
You could plug it into an amp. That's kind of cool. But here's the deal. Like, I don't want to –
you could just buy a guitar.
I don't want my game controller to also be my guitar.
Right. Yeah.
You just buy a guitar and – you know it's not going to sound as good as other guitars, and it's tiny, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I find myself losing interest in Rock Band 3 now that it's out. Like, I was kind of looking forward to it, but now that it's out, like, in fact, the other day when I heard about Rock Band DLC, and Neil, you were talking about this on Twitter.
Yeah.
The idea that all future DLC for Rock Band.
Which has been known since June, by the way, internet.
I
don't know why people
are
reporting
it.
June.
I didn't realize this until just the other day, but, like, honestly, like, that kind of – you'd think that would have the opposite effect. It would get me more excited about Rock Band 3. But really, it just kind of even more just kind of killed my enthusiasm because, honestly, I'm playing Rock Band 2 like maybe once every 3 or 4 months as it is. And the only thing that gets me to turn Rock Band back on is when I see a piece of DLC that I like.
See,
and
my
now,
thing is what,
that's not going to happen.
I don't see the big issue as far as having Rock Band 3 DLC be only for – or all DLC from now on only being compatible for Rock Band 3 because really – Rock Band 3 is leaps and bounds better than the previous game. It's like running on a new engine and shit.
How is it leaps and bounds better if I'm not going to get the
promo?
It sounds
like the same game with a keytar.
Yeah, well, no, but
the
interface and the setup of the game is a lot better. And it's also a new engine.
Yeah, but how is that new engine?
You're still strumming based on notes that slide down the screen.
It may be a new engine, and maybe the interface to get into the game is drastically improved. I totally buy that. Once you're in the game, once you're actually playing the game, how different is it really? I mean, you're still strumming a note track.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, just as far as why the DLC doesn't work is because, you know, they have the keyboards and stuff, and probably removing that functionality to have it work back and forth would not be worth it.
I'm not convinced yet. It's not a business decision, and that makes me angry.
It comes back to that the music game business is driven through peripherals.
Yep.
So like they have to get people to upgrade. They have to get those new peripherals out and sell them. And
yeah,
I've been loving Rock Band 3. I mean, I'm not playing with the fever that I played the original Rock Band with, but I've definitely been playing it a lot more than I played Rock Band 2 over the past year. And
yeah,
and I've been really enjoying it. It's rejuvenated my love for the franchise. I've been playing it with friends more often. And the keyboard thing, while I don't think I would really recommend it for everyone, I enjoy the keyboard. I think it's really cool. I've been screwing around with the promo there. It's fun.
I'm kind of curious about the keyboard, but I think what Rock Band 3 has done is it's killed my interest in Rock Band entirely because now I'm never going to turn Rock Band 2 on, and I probably won't buy Rock Band 3 anytime soon.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem like that this has much longevity to it. Like the new stuff, nothing really perked my ears up as someone that doesn't invest in these games very often, if at all. Like, I don't see any reason to get it.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. I don't want to spend, you know, half an hour dwelling on Rock Band 3,
right,
but...
Fuck you guys, it's great.
Yeah. So is Poke Park.
Also, House that did it Overkill 2 is apparently getting closer to reality.
There was a report
over Nintendo Life saying that apparently this was a new development. Unfortunately, Nintendo Life, and I don't want to be too much of a douche here, but I reported that back at E3 that House that did Overkill was being talked with Sega at E3. And following that meeting, in which I talked to Steve Pritchard over at Headstrong, House of the Dead Overkill as of E3 2010 was looking really good, and I guess it's looking even closer to becoming reality. It's going to come out for Move, too, but I'm really excited for this game. I love the first one. It's so good.
So great.
Fantastic.
Can you play through it in, like, an evening?
Yeah,
like most,
definitely.
Like, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely.
I might rent it.
It's tons of fun,
with
dude.
You, who's good
and
at
if
shooters.
You if you like shitty movies, if you like shitty movies or grindhouse movies, it's good.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny game, but it's relatively offensive to most rational human beings. Or
most humans. Most That's okay. It probably won't be
that.
To me, so I'm fine.
I think
yeah,
think you'd like
it
a lot, Nate. You, I mean, and you can just rent it, and you'll have as much joy as I do. Even though I do, I still actually replay that game from time to time.
I love the
soundtrack,
conversation
dude.
Between the two characters in the ice cream truck. It's very Quentin Tarantino.
And dude, that soundtrack is so good.
It is.
I need to play this game.
All right,
guys.
I'm gonna give it back to you, Nate.
Let's move on to new releases.
Retail.
Thank you. I will take it with retail. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna run through these. If you hear something interesting that you want to talk about, stop me. GoldenEye, Wii, and DS.
Talked about
Bloodstone DS. We talked about those. We talked also about Poke Park Wii.
So good.
Babysitting Mama Wii.
Day one purchase.
Oh my god, Cabela's I want Dangerous that game. Hunts. I want it so bad. I saw it in the store. I was like, I would do things to that puppet.
Wait, is that the one where you put the insert the Wii remote inside of the baby?
Just so you guys know, Pedro called it.
I know he did.
So take it up with him.
Aaron was like, hey, let's give this to Nathan. And Pedro's like, no, that's mine. I was like, all right, man, that's cool. I got excited a little bit there, but no. So depending on how bad it is, I can't buy it. I can't.
I wouldn't even do a review. I'd just do one of those blog posts where the baby's in compromising positions.
This is what happens when you put your baby in the oven.
Unit.
Hell yes.
What happens if you shake it?
Yes. Oh my god, so many good ideas.
If it somehow picks that up. Okay. Speaking of shaking babies, Cabela's Dangerous Hunts 2011. Yeah.
Which is apparently like a survival horror take on Cabela's.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's always a horror to survive their games, so.
I mean, the games
we'll
aren't
see.
Terrible, it's just like,
no,
I'm
no,
not gonna
are.
Fucking play a hunting
awful.
Game.
They're not. They're terrible.
They're not. I actually played one of them and like, well, this game is good if I liked hunting.
They fucked up dinosaurs,
you know, man. I've rented a lot of them.
I played.
And, yeah, because they always fascinate me. Their trailers always fascinate me. And then I'm like, I'll rent it. And then, oh. Yeah.
But yeah, this one's marketed as a survival horror game, which I think is kind of funny.
Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Cabela's
you're going to fight dangerous
Resident
hunts.
Evil.
Zombie bear,
feral ducks.
The dog just jumps through the window, and you're like, "Oh shit!"
That would be a moose.
Anyways, Jeopardy for the Wii and DS.
You want to know what's fucked about this game?
Almost,
no. Zach, I'm cutting you off because you know why? This is multiple choice.
Oh fuck that.
I was like kind of excited because I really liked like the Jeopardy game for old Nintendo and shit like that.
Right.
And I went to go play the demo at E3 and picked up the remote, saw that it was multiple choice, put the remote down, and I don't give a shit about that game at all.
Yeah, that's so freaking stupid. How about Wheel of Fortune for the Wii and DS?
That was actually mildly fun. I also played it. I mean, there's no multiple choice. Wheel of Fortune.
Does it have Pat and Vanna?
They're Mii versions. There's also a Mii version of Alex Trebek in the Wii and DS. I saw an
use motion controls to spin the Wheel of Fortune?
I think you do. I played it at E3.
How could you not?
Ago. I've drank a lot since E3, so I probably forgot. They're like advertising these. I was watching Jeopardy the other day, and they're like giving away prize packages, and like Alex Trebek's Mii will like talk, and it's weird.
Damn.
You buy enough copies, Alex will grow his mustache back.
I wish he would, man. He needs to do that.
I know. He looks like a little baby without it.
Yeah, it's like my dad used to have a mustache from when I was from before I was born up until like I don't know like I was like 16 or 17, and it was a
Did
case
it look
where
like Mario's mustache.
No, asshole.
My dad used to have like a mountain man beard before I was born. But, I look at old pictures, I'm like, you're not my father.
But there was like one
Pokemon trainers.
One day I got home from school and like I saw my dad and he didn't have his mustache, and I was just like, it didn't register with me at first until like a week later I just looked and I was like, holy shit. And like my friend would tell me about how he would like basically just imagine a mustache on my dad's face because it was jarring.
I accidentally shaved off part of my beard once, and I had to get rid of the rest of it, and I got some weird looks for that. 2 weeks. Call of Duty Black Ops, Wii and DS. I'm not interested in this game as it stands, so I don't know if I'd spring for the...
I played the PS3 version last night, and it's pretty
Weeds
cool.
Version. Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly like the other ones, but it's still pretty cool.
Is it... Okay, that's probably why.
Did you
I'm
play the
interested
zombie
there.
Mode with like Nixon and JFK and
no,
Fidel
I didn't
Castro?
Play that, no.
What?
Wait, yeah, dude, there's a video online. Go watch it because it's really funny. And then you don't
Do
need
you have
to,
like, balance fighting zombies with your drug addiction?
Well, no, because what it is, it's like, I don't know, you're like in the Pentagon. It's JFK. I forget who the fourth guy is. JFK, Nixon, and Fidel Castro, and there's a fourth guy.
And I'm hoping Abe Lincoln isn't.
No, no. But, like, it's really funny, and if it weren't for the fact that I don't give a shit about the entire rest of that game, I would get it on the strength of that.
You have GoldenEye.
Well,
that's
maybe they'll
enough.
Release it as a separate thing on the iPhone for us lucky people who want to play first-person shooters with crappy touch controls.
There you go.
Probably sold like gangbusters,
though. Screw iPhone shooters.
Screw the iPhone. Or at least games.
Hell yeah. Screw that iPhone.
I'm playing GeoDefense right now, and it's awesome. But
GeoDefense rules. Actually, Swarm is a little better.
I think you're right, but I'm replaying both of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Tom Clancy's Hawks 2 for the Wii.
No.
Apparently it's a piece of shit.
Keep going. Yeah. Fling Smash for the Wii.
This is a piece of shit. I'm just going to say it like... Apparently, people don't
Tell
hate it as
really
much as
feel.
I do. Apparently, people don't hate it as much as I do, looking at other reviews,
right.
But this game's a piece of shit.
Well, it may be because you're racist, but
maybe.
It may also be because
I don't know.
It's a crappy game. You want to elaborate?
But, like, I mean, well, it's really the controls suck. Like, there's some cool ideas in the game, and it really reminds me of Yoshi's Island, just the setup of it and kind of, like, the progression. But
isn't that good?
The controls are terrible, and, like...
How about the music?
No, not the music.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but I have no urge to talk about this game. I managed to beat it, but it was like, I just want to fucking beat this piece of shit so that when anyone is like, oh, you were too hard on the game, I'll just be like, no, I beat it, and I still fucking hate it, so fuck off.
Yeah, so that's why I had to beat Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
That's
why I played Kinect
the other day. Rune Factory 3 DS. Yeah.
Harvest Moon
the first
game, right?
One. Yeah, Harvest Moon, Rune Factory. I played the first one. You're farming and fighting monsters. Not very fun for me.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. WiiWare. I don't know anything about any of these. Gods vs. Humans.
Watched a few of the trailers on YouTube. Gods vs. Humans actually looks pretty cool. It's sort of a...
What kind of game is it? It's 1,200 points, by the way, 1 to 2 players.
I don't know how it plays exactly because the trailer was fairly short, but it looked like... a very kind of stylish cartoon version, like a Wind Waker-y version of like Sim Tower, but with fighting. Because I think you play as the gods and the humans are trying to like build a tower up to heaven. It's kind of what it looked like. I might
it's
be way
Babylon.
Wrong on this. Yeah. And like, so the humans come and build a tower up, and then you fire
or Babel.
You fire
whatever
like
it's called.
Weapons of mass destruction or some sort at the humans as they're building, maybe.
I would.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But the graphics looked pretty nice. I mean, it's 1,200 points, isn't it?
Yeah.
1,200 points, yeah, of graphics, I guess.
So, I mean, it's got to be at least something of a premium title.
Well, no, I don't know if I'd assume that.
Hey, if they think they can get it charging more than 1,000 points for it, they better make sure it's not complete.
Remember that Enjoyer Massage was 1,200 points.
No, it was like $6. I don't know what the hell happened. I think James like overly paid for it. He bought it twice.
Oops, Prank Party was $20.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mixed Superstar.
That. Yay.
Yeah. And the next, Mixed Superstar, Digital Leisure, 500 points, one player. I'm guessing it involves some sort of mixing.
That's my guess as well.
Potentially.
Whether it's you're mixing ingredients or mixing some beats, I don't know. Robox from Dreambox Games, 1,000 points. Anyone Box. Watch something?
Yeah,
close?
Robox looked...
I heard it's not too bad from reviews. No, I honestly have no idea what it is, though.
Based on the trailer, it looked kind of like a Wall-E-ish sort of robot. Like, he wasn't on treadmills. He was on. He had like 2 feet or whatever. But it was just sort of like a real basic kind of like adventure platformer. But the only problem with the game based on the trailer that I saw was it looks like it's about half speed. And not like in a glitchy way, just like sort of in a design way.
Not in a good way.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying the game is broken in terms of, like, it's just buggy. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's not a crappy frame rate. It's a crappy.
It just looks like.
Character speed.
It looks like the game would be kind of boring because your character moves like a two-legged robot, which is, say, not very quickly. But actually, like, the environments looked kind of cool. I mean, it didn't look spectacular, but it might be worth checking out. Maybe not quite for 1,000 points, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious to see if any of our listeners pick this up. Cause...
Yeah, that goes with saying. For everything for Wii and DSiWare, or WiiWare and DSiWare, if any listener, all 8 of you, maybe 10, I hope, maybe. if anyone's actually played any of these games and you have something to say about them, do write in to newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. We'd love to talk about it because we're not going to be able to play all these games, and most of these games
we don't
bullshit.
Have the time or the budget to buy...
Yes.
All of the Happy Birthday Marts.
Yeah.
No.
Only buy some of them. And then I guess last for WiiWare is Gene Labs, Frontline Studios. I don't know why that's all capped.
That's just how it
points.
Is.
Frontline.
I don't know anything about Gene Labs, but I know there's a DSiWare version that's 200 points that the press release just says this is the DSiWare version of the WiiWare game Gene Labs. So I have no idea like what the differences are.
Fantastic. Who knows? Speaking of DSiWare, we have Go! Series Pinball Attack from GameBridge, 500 points.
I guess that's another one in that series.
Pinball.
The Go series.
It's like sort of meets. It looks like Arkanoid meets pinball to some extent.
Yeah.
I wish Fuse would make another little pinball game because that Egyptian one is so good.
Yeah.
No, speaking cool. of Pinball Fusion. And Pokemon Fusion. Pokemon Pinball was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have it on my GBA. I love that game.
Great game. And then there's Adventure in Vegas Slot Machine by Game
Yes.
Land, 200 points.
But is there an interior decorating sim and a disappearing monkey
only,
shooter?
Right. I need to get that game.
You do.
The only one slot machine apparently in Vegas. I guess to sync with the one slot machine, there is Disco Light by Casa. 200 points.
I thought we saw the worst DSiWare game ever in Flashlight. I think we trumped it.
It's the sequel.
It's from the same people, and this is Disco Light.
And this is just a Disco Light.
Yes,
yeah.
For $2.
Brilliant.
So
at least this shit would be free
them,
on the
I
iPhone.
Could, yeah, if I buy a bunch of them, no, actually, it probably wouldn't. If I buy a bunch of these, I could put them under my glass floor and have a disco floor.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, on the XL, that'd be nice. I guess next there is Gene Labs, the DSiWare version of the WiiWare game Gene Labs at 200 points by Frontline Studios. Paul's Shooting Adventure.
That sounds like a winner.
200 points. This sounds like a game about a serial killer. So if it is, please let us know.
Is it the same adventure as the slot machine one?
Is this like Deer Captor, but with humans?
He loses
the slot machine and then starts shooting up the casino.
Neil, Deer Captor is not about shooting things. It's about captoring them,
putting them in your basement.
And
human
saving
captor
them for later. And then after Paul went on a shooting adventure, he played Peg Solitaire by Circle Entertainment.
Brilliant. But
what is with that? Why do these people capitalize?
I don't know.
All caps, the first part of their name.
I mean, I put these in Circle. Exactly how they are in the press.
The problem with the problem with Peg Solitaire for 500 points is that you can go into a dollar store and buy three of them.
Yeah.
Right.
If that was 200 points, like, I was thinking, well, Peg Solitaire, that's kind of fun. And then it's all the 500 points, I'm like, no.
Well, the way they sell DSiWare points is really prohibitive to get, like, oh, I just want to check out this $2
game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I hate that.
It really, if they had that, you know, the equivalent of, like, the 99-cent game on the iPhone, if they had, like, a 100-point barometer for that, like, I would totally go impulse on a lot more games because $1 is way, way cheaper than $2 in my book.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know if it's the fact that it's such a labor to pull out the DSi XL or just because I don't play my DS like that, but it does. And I'm a nerd, so, you know, picking that thing up.
Yeah.
But, I don't find that I'm attracted to these tiny experiences on my DSi. Like, I just want to play the game that I bought for the cart.
Yeah, I have, like, Dr. Mario on mine, and,
I got Mario, March of the Minis, and Shantae.
Yeah, like, I mean, and
that's great.
I'll usually, you know, like, if I got some time to kill, I'll, like, you know, play some Dr. Mario for a little bit. But other than that, like, I'm not going to go out and get, like, you know, fucking random-ass solitaire game.
Have either of you guys checked out Snap Dots on DSiWare?
I kind of read into it, and then it didn't seem like my kind of thing, but it seemed interesting.
I picked it up a little bit ago. I haven't played it too much yet, but it's actually kind of a cool little I picked it up because it kind of looked a little bit like Picross, and it's not really Picross.
Yeah, that's what I was interested in it, and then I realized, like, it looks like Picross, but it's really not, and I was like, don't care.
No, it's like there's a shape in the middle of a grid, and you rotate the grid and fire pixels to the middle of the grid from the outside, and you have to create a shape in the middle of the grid by firing to the outside. But you have to be careful how you fire it, because if you don't do it right, then when you fire in from one direction, you'll block the path you need to fire in from a different direction. So it's sort of a logic solving problem. The thing I read there was like 60 puzzles though, and it's like $5. It's probably more than I really wanted to spend, but I still had some points left over from my purchase of Shantae, which I did eventually buy. Haven't played yet, but
so let's finish this up with Virtual Console Street Slam for the Neo Geo, 900 points.
Apparently, it's a 3-on-3 basketball game, kind of like NBA.
Is it about Pogs?
No, it's not about Pogs. It's a basketball game. I don't know too much about it.
Nice, that would be cool.
That would be cool. Dude, a slammer? Yeah. Just throw that shit
Pokemon
down.
Pokemon Pogs?
Yeah.
There are things I would buy on the virtual console from Neo Geo, but sports games are really not one of them. Gotta be honest.
Yeah. I don't know. What is that one? Baseball Stars? I played it in the arcade a few times. I wouldn't get it for like $9, but I like baseball.
I wouldn't just buy sports games in general, so.
You said yourself you were interested in Madden 3DS, so.
I am. I'm very interested in it.
They wouldn't
buy
it.
But I said in general. I digress.
I'm very interested in your mom. Yeah.
In general.
You tell her.
Well, she is not interested in you, Zach.
Well, damn it.
That's all the games.
That is all the games
they're
in one.
Out of games. Sorry, guys.
Polo cast.
We need to have a new system now because we ran out of games on the current systems.
Hurry up, Nintendo. Get on the program. I do want to
give a shout out to some of our listeners on the talkback thread of the last episode, who pointed out some of the audio problems we've been having. I appreciate that because I don't really have a good ear for how other people hear it until people tell me. So I'm going to try to mix it up a little bit this week and see if we can't get that cleaned up. Hopefully, y'all will keep leaving feedback because I want the show to sound good, and I can't generally. I mean, when I edit it, I listen to it with headphones on in a quiet room.
Right.
So it's kind of hard for me to really tell if it's going to be hard to listen to when you're in a car or on a bus.
Yeah.
So definitely keep leaving the feedback. I appreciate it. It's nice to see those talkback threads get a little bit longer every time. Which it's awesome to actually have some feedback on the show.
They have been getting longer.
They have been. We're getting up there.
Well, except about Brett Favre.
Not in Zach's case. Anyway, so yeah, speaking of feedback, hey, leave us feedback on iTunes. We have not gotten reviews in a bajillion million years.
Since you.
And
since me.
I seriously doubt that anybody who listens to Newscast doesn't also listen to RFN. But just in case, you can check me out on the Discover Music Project, the new episode featuring me and host Jonathan Metz of RFN. Just came out at crosstalk.com a few days ago. I go
look at
over...
Andy all fancy.
I know.
DMP.
Aren't you going to be on that soon, Nate?
Yeah. He is.
Already recorded.
I help Johnny dissect a playlist from Mr. Benjamin Folds of Ben Folds 5. It's a pretty good little episode. Good some good music on there. Crosstalk.com is quickly becoming one of my favorite things on the internet.
Actually, from what I've read, Andy, your episode was the most rapidly downloaded episode yet.
Yep.
I'm going to attribute that to just being the most recent episode on Crosstalk.
I'm going to attribute it to having a bitching co-host.
Yeah. That too.
You mean Johnny?
I'm assuming you mean Johnny.
Kaboom.
Bam. Oh, yeah. So yeah, go check that out. Crosstalk.com.
Yeah, and as we were saying earlier, with any WiiWare or DSiWare games that we didn't really talk too much about, if you have played it and want to tell us about it, write us at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. And stay tuned if you're interested in playing GoldenEye Wii online with some people from Nintendo World Report. We will be having a Wi-Fi night soon. Kind of got to get that figured out. I don't know exactly when it's going to be. But
we have to figure out how to track progress.
Yeah, if we're going to just do the giveaways randomly or if we can find out a way in-game to... determine a way to
we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
And if you have any feedback about that, email us at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com because we're going to need help figuring that out. And
there's also a talkback thread.
Yes, that too. We'll talk, gang.
Talk to us.
I want to talk to everyone.
That sounds like an episode to me.
I want to hear from you.
That was an episode.
Thank you, Andy.
I want to touch the fuzzy wall.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Nathan.
We will see you all on the polo field.
Thank you. Yes.
Doctor, I can't do that, Doctor. Nathan.
I'm gonna go play in a poke park. So, you know.
play the polo mini game.
I'm sure there probably is one that I haven't unlocked yet.
Yeah.
You're like you hit a Voltorb.
Hell yes.
Oh god.
You ride a giraffe rig and hit a Voltorb.
And Andy's trying to speak to me.
I was just going to say, when you're in your Poke Park, Zach, if you see any lost souls, you have to use the urn.
I accidentally crapped in the urn. Okay, but that should be the end of the episode.
Yeah. Bye, y'all.
Okay. I enjoyed that.
I'm going to go ahead and stop recording.
Oh,
later.
Yeah, I am recording. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, we're all recording. Bye. Hey, let me tell the story about how, sorry, it's not the end right now. Forest Lawn, a funeral home cemetery thing, way back when I was in high school, actually let me schedule my own cremation.
This sounds amazing. Wow.
They went as far as to agree to saying that, hey, I want to come in Wednesday to be cremated. The lady tentatively agreed with it until she kind of realized what was going on, and then she had to put an end to it. I did it under a falsified name with a friend. It was one of the most fun things I ever
did. Ran out behind the bushes.
That sounds like the first chapter of a Stephen King novella.
And then like first it ends with you getting cremated. Yeah.
It started with me just saying, I'd like to talk about scheduling my cremation. And she was very open about it. And then, it progressed from there. She kind of realized what she was agreeing to. No, this is all by email. I have it. I have it still.
That's fantastic.
That needs to be bonus content.
Sweet.
I'll read it. Yeah,
sweet
I'll read
burn.
The whole transcription. Yeah, it was great.
You're on fire, sir.